أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Dear viewers, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you may know, we are talking about the different functions of trust. If you are a trustworthy person, this quality of you, this attribute of you, will have certain functions. And these functions will help you throughout your life. Sometimes we accept an idea, a theory, an opinion, just because God has ordered us to accept it. If we do so, so much the better. It is very good to accept the revealed ideas, God-given ideas, on faith basis. Not asking for arguments, not asking for justifications. We know that there is a God who is all power, who is omnipotent, and who knows each and everything. And when such a God tells us to do anything, we can understand that it will be in our benefit, it will be in our advantage. Because God does not tell us to do anything wrong. Whatever He tells us to do, it serves us in one way or the other. It is in our interest in one way or the other. So if we accept religious ideas, religious doctrines, on faith basis, it will be so good. But of course, if we want to comprehend better, to understand things properly, it will not be a bad idea either. You can increase your knowledge. You can deepen your understanding of some religious doctrines and ideas. As far as the principle of trust is concerned, this can be applied with it. The principle of trust is no exception to this rule. You can accept this principle on faith basis, asking for no reason, for no justification. And you can ask for the philosophy of this principle in order to have a profound understanding of this issue. And if you are among those who are in search of a deep understanding of the principle of trust, we have given some justifications. We have talked about the functions of this principle. We have narrated and related some points in this connection. This session will again be devoted to the functions and benefits of the application of this principle in our life. If we listen to these functions and these advantages, And if we comprehend them fully, then of course we will be motivated to apply this principle and to accept it as a part of our life. One of the functions of the principle of trust is that it increases social reliance on you, or on the whole, it increases general reliance. As you may know, society is based on mutual faith or mutual trust. If there is no mutual trust, the wheel of social life will not rotate. And as a result, life will not function properly. In order for life to function properly, there should be mutual trust. When you take a taxi, you trust the taxi driver. And the taxi driver trusts you when you give him a note. Your note is not a fake one. And when you trust the taxi driver, then the taxi driver does not exploit your trust. He takes you to the destination you want. When you buy some goods from your neighboring shop, you rely on the shopkeeper. You trust him, and the shopkeeper also trusts you. Similarly, when you get ill, you visit a physician. You trust the physician. You tell him to prescribe you something. And he does prescribe something and tells you to use whatever he prescribes. And you believe in his advice, you trust him. And therefore, you take the medicine and you get better. Similarly, when there is a problem with you, you refer to law enforcement agencies. You rely on them. You trust them. Similarly, they trust you. The thing is that the entire society is based on the principle of trust. If the society wants to function properly, if social organizations want to function correctly, they must accept the principle of mutual trust. And there must be this principle. If this principle is replaced by distrust, if this principle is replaced by lack of trust, then of course society will face problem. Such a society, as I mentioned before, will not continue for long. Soon or late, it will collapse. Soon or late, it will disintegrate. So if we want our society to function properly and to follow the course of development and the course of progress, then we must try our best. We must do whatever we can in order to promote the principle of trust and tell our fellows, our friends, our classmates, our colleagues and comrades to appreciate this principle and to put it into practice. So this is also one of the advantages of this principle. Another function and another advantage of this principle is that if you apply this principle, and if everybody puts this principle into practice, what will be the result? The result will be the expenses will be lowered. And as a result, the national wealth will be saved. You see, if we do not respect this principle, in such a case, we will be forced to spend a lot. We will be obliged to spend right and left. But if we put this principle into practice, our expenses will be cut down. Our expenses will be decreased. Let me give you some life examples. You see, nowadays we have many things that belong to public, and they can be called public wealth. Look, for example, at the parks we have. Each city has numerous parks, and these parks are built in order to provide the citizens with the space to walk in and to enjoy themselves. And we have different gardens, different parks, and similarly we have different forests and jungles. These forests are also a sort of national wealth and a sort of natural resource. And we have different places that are public places, like schools, universities, mosques, and so on and so forth. All these things are public wealth. They are examples of public wealth. Now, if you are a trustworthy person, if you have a firm belief in the principle of trust, you will deal with all these items properly. You will use these items in a very good manner. You will not destroy them. You will not damage any one of these items. When you go to a park, you enjoy yourself sitting under the trees. But if you do not have a firm faith in this principle, of course you might damage public places. You might damage public transportation. You might damage public buildings. And you might damage whatever you come across. And you see, if this public sector is used in a proper way, of course, they will provide us with a better facility and better possibility for enjoyment. And they will have a longer life, of course. But if they are not used properly, what will happen? Their life will be shortened. And we will not be able to make use of them for a longer period of time. And as a result, the government will be forced to provide these things and to purchase these things anew. And you see, it is not an easy task to purchase all these things once in a while, every now and then. And if a government is determined to do so because it wants to serve its citizens, then it will have to pay a large sum of money in order to prepare all these things. So you see, the expenses will be increased. So how can we decrease the expenses? How can we cut down our expenditure? We can do it by bettering our moral attributes, we can bring a change, we can improve by changing our moral values. If we promote the principle of trust among our citizens, and if our citizens are trustworthy, of course the expenses will be cut down, and when the expenses will be significantly decreased. So this is one of the advantages of the principle of trust. And therefore, we are motivated, and we have many reasons to follow this principle and to make use of it in our own life. A third function of this principle is that if this principle is put into practice in a society, there will be a sense of security among citizens. Citizens will feel secure. They will not feel threatened by others. And it is very important to get such kind of feeling and to spread such kind of feeling among citizens. Because if citizens are happy, if they have a positive approach towards each other, it will have a positive impact on their psychology and on their souls. And the result will be very much positive. But if they are not following the principle of trust, if they are pessimist towards each other, if they are backbiting each other and they have a negative approach towards each other, of course, they will not feel secure when they are with each other. And when they make any contract, any deal with each other, again, they do not feel secure. How can we bring security among our people? How can we maintain psychological security? And how can we promote this ideal in our life? We can do it by different ways and by different things. But one of the things that is helpful in this connection is the principle of trust. If we promote this principle, if we propagate this principle, and if this principle is respected by our citizens, by our fellow human beings, of course, we will feel secure and we will be in a good relation with each other, not feeling threatened by each other. And that is the reason why the Holy Prophet of Islam, as I mentioned before, says, لا تزال أمتي بخير ما لم تخاونوا وأدوا الأمانة. The Holy Prophet says, my community will be in a good condition and they will lead a prosperous life as long as they do not betray each other, as long as they deliver the trust back to their owners. You see, the Holy Prophet focuses from among different things on the principle of trust and on avoiding betrayal. If you follow the principle of trust, and if you avoid betraying others, and if everybody does the same, then the community will have a better life. The community will lead a happier life. happiness is something which every one of us is seeking. You are seeking happiness. I'm after happiness. Everybody is after happiness. We want to lead a happy life. Bring happiness to our life. How can we invite this quality to our life? We cannot do it except by doing certain things, by following certain mechanisms. And one of the things we can do is to follow the principle of trust. If you do it, you will lead a happy life. If the community follows it, and if we propagate this moral principle and make it a national value, then of course the whole community, the entire nation, will lead a happy life. And this is what our Holy Prophet has told us and has said to us. The third function of this principle is that if you follow up this principle, if you adhere to this idea, you will lead a prosperous life and you will reach the stage of welfareness. We want, of course, to have a facilitated life. Welfare is one of our desires and one of our needs. We want to live a facilitated life. We want to have access to means of welfare. We want to have access to comforts and means of comfort. But how can we do it? How can we reach this ideal? According to Islamic sources, we can do it by applying the principle of trust and by adhering to Islamic values at large. If we honor Islamic principles, and if we give respect, especially to the principle of trust, the result will be that we will be able to lead a happy and prosperous life, having each and everything, not being deprived from anything. And this is what God Himself promises. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, if you are pious, if you are trustworthy, Allah says He will help you in your life. As I mentioned before, one of the advantages of this principle is that it decreases the expenses of life. So if the expenses of life are decreased, you will feel comfortable. You don't need to work day and night, 24 hours a day. You don't need to be like an ant working. You will divide your time into many categories, into many divisions. One division will be devoted to working because we want to feed our children. We want to provide them with sustenance and things they need. And one portion of your time will be devoted to taking rest and sleeping. In one portion, as Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says, must be devoted to worshipping Allah and to serving God. Of course, you can do this kind of thing if you are not under economic pressure. On the contrary, if you are under economic pressure, and if you lead a very hard life, then of course you will not be able to live comfortably and to have access to means of comfort and welfare. So that is why our Islamic sources advise us and tell us to follow this principle. And if you give a look at the story of Joseph or Yusuf, you will find out this truth therein. You see, Prophet Yusuf underwent a lot of difficulties. He faced numerous problems throughout his life. But what was very much prominent in his life, and what was very much peculiar in his life, was that he was honest. He was truthful. He was trustworthy. He never betrayed anyone else. He never did anything wrong. Honesty was his policy in life. And you see, his honesty bore fruits. It had very good consequences. In the end, he became a minister. He had each and everything in his own hand. And that is what the Holy Quran mentions, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We provide him with the opportunity and with the facility he needed. Prophet Yusuf was a poor person in the beginning, having nothing. But because of his honesty and because of his truthfulness and because of his trustworthiness, he attained the stage of prophethood and he attained the stage of rulership of the land of Egypt. And it was not something easy to achieve. All this he achieved through applying moral principles. So let us follow the suit and do whatever these great people did throughout their lives. By doing so, we will of course be able to be like them. Thank you very much.